Okay, here's the way to find out. When you hear about it, and they say, send me money that I might build you a place of safety. There's your clue. It's not of the Lord. Because when those Russians left Armenia, every man had his own money in his own pocket. Went past the Statue of Liberty. Well, I don't know whether the Statue of Liberty was there, but went past Ellis Island and finally into New York and got off and took the train over to California with his own money and invested his own money. Now, the Bible says in the millennium, every man will be under his own vine and own fig tree. And yet, we find the scriptures. Then in Acts chapter 4, when every man, I'm in the scripture right now, if you don't follow me here. In Acts chapter 4, they were all of one heart and one soul. And when they were of one heart and one soul, then they tried communal living, a community. What was the clue? They were of one mind, one spirit. And when we're one mind and one spirit, a community works. How many have noticed in the family next door, they're not always one mind? I said next door. I never mentioned your house at all. It was always the one next door. Have you noticed that a man and a woman, after being married, are not always one mind? And because they're not of one mind, even that type of community is difficult. Now admit that your brother's having trouble in that realm. But they were one mind and one spirit. And when they were one mind and one spirit, they tried communal living. The next verse I want to call your attention to is in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And it says they were all scattered. I studied the 4,000, the 5,000, and how many people that put money into that community, sold their houses, and gave all their money, not like Ananias and Sapphira, but gave all their houses. Now, can you imagine a group this size? Look at us. How many are here? Does anybody count? I don't know. It's a big group. Now, suppose everybody here got in one mind, in one spirit, and sold all your houses and brought them to me, brought the money. Can you imagine how much money I'd have from a group this size? It would be a sizable amount, wouldn't it? It'd be enough to keep me and my family and my grandchildren for the rest of our natural lives and the end of the millennium, perhaps to the end. Not with an invasion. Well, hopefully I'd invest it wisely. But I want you to see something. Those 12 thousands and 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 thousands of Christians selling their houses and bring their money. And by the time we get to Acts chapter 11, the Christians at Antioch are taking up offerings to send the money to those in Jerusalem. Because they're broke. What did you learn from that? If you think that you can find peace, security, and safety by combining and pooling your resources in the temporal realm, you're as nuts as they were. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? How many times does he have to tell you that your security is in Jesus Christ? That your leader is the Holy Ghost. And that to build any kind of a system outside of Jesus Christ and outside of the leading of the Holy Ghost will be a calf. And in three chapters, you'll be wiped out. There'll be no money left. The structure will fail. Now, I'll admit that the most dramatic failure was the Guyana failure. But they've all failed. Did you hear what I said? Every golden calf fails because the people try to find security and a leader through that which they build, and it will not work. I would to God that all God's people were prophets. I would to God that every one of you had the sensitivity to hear from the Holy Ghost and know for yourself right from wrong, so you wouldn't need a structure and you wouldn't need someone standing up in front of you saying, I'm hearing from God, do this, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't know whether you caught that or not, but that was a bad mistake on Paul's part. I'll wait for a reaction on that. Paul didn't do everything right. It's time for every one of us to be led individually by the Holy Ghost. Now, three times every person must appear before me in the place I've chosen: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. At Passover, you give your heart to Jesus Christ. At Pentecost, you give your soul to the Holy Ghost. But at Tabernacles, you give your body to the glory of God the Father. And at the Tabernacle experience, every man builds his own booth unto God. Then, according to the Talmud, not Torah, the Shekinah glory of God departs from the central structure and dwells individually on the booth of every man. Now, how many understand why it's hard for me to get a big church to teach in? Because when I start talking like this, this challenges structure. And structure wants the glory in the structure. But in the tabernacle experience, the glory inhabits the tabernacle of every man. And every man becomes his own priest before God. Every man is led individually by the Holy Ghost. We believe that we're that close that you can taste it. I can smell it. It's in the air. How many of you have got something churning within you and you know we're at the very end of an age and the beginning of something brand new? Now, because we're there, who's dragging their feet the most? Say it. The Christian structures are fighting the move and dragging their feet and keeping, can I say, blind leaders of the blind, trying to keep this from happening. And what did they say in John chapter 12? If this man continues, we'll lose our position. They're more interested in the structured position than they are in the leading of the Holy Ghost individually on the booth of every man. Now, let me qualify that. In the Bible, we find the structured church in the book of Revelation, given wings, going into the earth and being protected by the earth and being even in the last chapters of the book of Revelation. What this means is that there will always be a structured Christian society. Studying the book of Revelation, we find the purpose of the structure is to be pregnant and bring forth manifest sons of God. We do not find that the rod to rule and reign is ever given to the church. The church produces the sons who receive the rod. How many understood what I just said? So then, if you're hearing me carefully, I'm not finding fault with mother. It's just that there comes a time when I have to say, mother, I want to do it myself. I need to be cut from the apron strings. But you watch in a structured society. And when the structured society is down on someone within their group, who are they maddest at? The ones who are starting to mature. Every time. They don't get mad at the babies. They get mad at those who are maturing and start to threaten the structure. And that's true in no matter... You know, this must be true because I'm talking to Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Assembly of God and Roman Catholics and help me out, brethren and everything else. And every one of you know that it's true. See, because it's a basic spirit in that structure. Now, the structure is interested in protecting the structure. There is, in every queen's court, a crown prince who's different from all the other princes and princesses. Most are courtiers to their mother's court. But the crown prince is not courtier to his mother. He's under tutors and governors, taken apart and trained to become his mother's king. Most of our society is made up of, well, those who are prince and princesses, courtiers to their mother's court. But there are a few, precious few, who are turning into prince and princesses, and eventually we become kings and priests, joint heirs with Christ, rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. They will have been a part of a structured society, but their goal will not be to build a structured society. Their goal will be to develop and to use their mother's society to learn and to develop and get out and then do it themselves. But we admit there are those who are still back under this other thing. Okay. If I ask you for money to build my structured society, is that right or wrong? Wrong. If I ask you for money to pay my bills for the good news that I brought you tonight, is that right or wrong? Right. If I ask you for money because I want to put some people out in California, in Los Angeles, at the door of that Russian church, so when those guys leave, we'll know it. Is that right or wrong? Wrong. If I happen to have placed within my own personal friendship those who will know and will call me on the phone when it happens, is that right or wrong? Well, I didn't do anything to make it happen, and he promised to call. I don't know what's going to happen soon here in Harrisburg. But isn't it a rotten coincidence that every time I go out on one of these things, the hurricane strikes, or the TMI blows, or whatever it is, it always happens when we're leaving, after we've left. Leaving next week. I was just playing with you then, I'm not saying. But it's just, you know, every time that we've had the, you know, in June 72 and all of, every time we've been gone. In fact, it got to the point where one of the reporters at the newspaper was wanting to know when I'm leaving. Get ready to write up the next calamity. But if we hear, we'll let you know, honest. Yeah. If we know anything, I'll let you know. I won't hold back. Even like the TMI thing, we won't hold back. But what I'm trying to say is that this is a very difficult teeter-totter about money. But you watch, and watch your prophets. And if your prophet starts using you to get your money in order that you might receive his prophecy, or his word, or his help, or his ark, or his calf, or whatever it is that he's building, then that's your clue right away. Have nothing to do with that kind of a system. That young Russian boy became an older man, gave the word, and no one felt the responsibility to sell their houses and give the money to him. They sold their houses and put it in their pocket and took it over here and built dairies in California and became millionaires. But the same man knew when he was being served an ox with a bad eye. You see the difference? Do you see what I'm trying to get at? You see this thing here? No one demanded an ox. But if you're going to meet the needs of the prophet, then it has to be right. It can't be with a lying heart. It can't be with force. It has to be with a willing heart. And it's got to be the best for the anointed one. It's just that simple. And so, Peter said, we didn't demand that you give all your money. It's just that you cheated us on it. You said you did and you didn't. That's the thing. Not that you held back, is that you said you gave it all. That's the bad eye thing. Are you following this parallel? So Ananias and Sapphira had to pay. We found out that Simon had to pay. And what did he say? He said, thy money perish with thee, because you thought that the gifts of God could be purchased. The same Peter who had taken, can I say, millions of dollars? He had received millions and millions and millions of dollars a few chapters earlier. He had seen to it that Ananias and Sapphira were carried out because of money problems. The same guy is saying now, because you thought you could buy God with money. It's not the way. Every one of us can hear from the Lord and can get the release and the desire that we want, whether we put money in the box or not. If we put it in, it better be right with the right kind of heart, and it better not have a bad eye. And somebody put a dollar in my offering that was half burnt. Right across George's eye. Well, no, the one of the serial numbers was burnt. There was one serial number on and the other burnt, and they won't take it to the bank because you have to have two serial numbers. If two serial numbers were showing, they would have taken it and changed it, but with only one, they wouldn't let me have it. So, it's in my souvenir of bad-eyed cows. But I'm trying to help you to make decisions in the future. And watch out for the guys that are after your money. But Paul said very clearly he needed it to pay the expenses of the gospel. So as long as they're coming at you for that, then naturally you have a responsibility. But if they're coming at you to build a structure for your security, it's another bad mistake, and we've gone around the mountain again. I want to pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. And we pray that each one of us, as we make decisions about how to live our lives during the rest of this period of time that we have here, that whatever it is that your changes that have to be made, that we'll be in harmony and step. We pray that there will be people here who give their hearts to Jesus tonight, that nobody will get out of here without Jesus in the heart. We pray there will be people here that will say yes to the Holy Spirit and the soul, and that even though that they might have been a little bit backward about some of the gifts or something, that the Holy Spirit will have His way. There will be people who will say yes to the glory of the Father and the physical body, and nobody will get out of here the way they were when they came in, but everybody will receive more of our Lord and Savior. We pray that every heart will say yes to Jesus, washed in the blood, every past sin forgiven. That every mind will say yes to the Holy Ghost, that every body will receive in the physical realm those changes that are necessary. So this which is corruptible will put on incorruption. This which is mortal will put on immortality, and we shall be changed. We pray right now, Lord, that as we're seeking security and safety, that it'll be only through you and through the leading of your prophets. You said you would do nothing except the Lord first reveal it to his prophets. But we pray, Lord, for the discerning of spirits, and that this night will be a school of the prophets, so that every one of these prophets might be able to look at the other prophets and say, that one is prophesying in the spirit, that one is prophesying in the soul. We pray, Lord, that we'll make righteous judgments, and that none of our judgments will be hurtful one to another. Now we trust you, Lord, that as we have to go separate ways for a couple of months, that your love will protect us. Your angels will go before us, and you'll bring us back together again in the right way at the right time, as each one of us have matured even more, conformed more to your image, put on your stature, changed from what we are to what we ought to be, so that we can actually praise you and worship you for the changes that you have already given to us. Change us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn to the one next to you and say, I believe you look like you can make it.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School.